Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day workshop for men seeking to overcome any destructive sexual habits. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery with decades of combined experience. Read testimonies. Testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, and I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. I want to personally invite you to register for our next workshop coming up January 13th through the 15th in Texas in the lovely Hill Country. So call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY. That's 1-800-497-8748, or visit gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. My name is Jonathan, and I'm delighted that you've joined us today. You know, the next two episodes actually come from a talk that I gave earlier this year to encourage men at a local church to live lives of purity and purpose. But before we transition to that talk, let me share briefly with you just where our ministry is financially as we close out 2016. You know, at the beginning of our year-end appeal last month, we had a need of $47,000 in order to end the year in a strong position to just be able to keep all our ministry services afloat and even thriving. And I'm really pleased to report that so far we have received nearly $20,000 of that need. So we praise the Lord for His provision. And I just want to ask you to prayerfully consider maybe how God might want you to partner with us as we finish the year and start 2017. So if you want to help us with a year-end gift, please visit give.bebroken.com or call 1-800-497-8748. Again, that website is give.bebroken.com or call 1-800-497-8748. We appreciate your support, and especially we appreciate your prayers. So now here is today's episode on the three P's of purity, and I hope it inspires and equips you to live every day with sexual integrity. Keep pressing on.
But I want to share with you kind of some of the nuts and bolts of how do you live as a man of integrity every day in a society that is continually and constantly trying to distract you from living such a life. Guys, it's no longer a secret. We live in a sexualized culture. We could even put it this way. We live in a pornified culture. The United States is absolutely saturated with pornography. And it's not saturated in some seedy alleys down the road. It's not saturated in some way that's in the dark. It's right out in the open now. There's not a place that you can go in our culture that does not have the influence of pornography in it. Whether you're looking on your television, you're on your smartphone, you're even driving down the street and seeing billboards, it's everywhere. Did you know that that doesn't change for a minute the call that God has on His men and how they are to live and how they are to manage their sexuality? The culture could even get worse, guys, but God's call for us is to be bearers of His image. And one of the things we know about God is that He is holy or pure. And in fact, one of his commandments to us is, be holy as I am holy. If we want to bear God's image well in this culture, no matter how far it goes down the drain in terms of sexuality, we must learn what it means to bear his image in holiness. Because every single man in here, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are called to be a man of purity. In fact, I would go so far as to say that I believe God created every single human being for purity. We were all made for purity. 1 Thessalonians 4:7 says this, you were not called to be impure, but to live a holy life. That means that every single one of us in here, we were not called to go down the drain with our culture in terms of pornography and sexual sin. We were actually called to rise above it. We were called to live holy. So what I want to go over here with the three P's of purity is, what does that look like? What are the principles of purity? These are the timeless, eternal principles. They are from God's Word. They're absolutely true. They don't change. It doesn't matter if we're in the 5th century, if we're right now, or 1,000 years in the future. It doesn't matter if we're here in Africa or in Asia. These are principles that are true no matter what. So I want to share with you what those principles are. Then I want to share with you what the process is. See, we're in a lifelong process of being made more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. And so I want to share with you what that process looks like pertaining to living a life of purity. And then finally, what are the daily practices that are so important in order to do this, in order to actually live out and bear God's image well in our culture? So first, the principles. There's four principles here. And I need little mental tricks to help me remember things. So you'll notice they spell pure. Right? So this is a good way for you to say, am I engaging these principles of purity? The first principle of purity is to profess the struggle. So that P there is for profess. Profess the struggle. This really gets into the issue of confession and repentance. See, what Jason shared with you that I think was so key, and what really led to so many damaging things regarding his pornography use, was the secrecy of it all. See, guys, when we hide our sin, that is absolutely not bearing God's image well. He tells us in 1 John 1 that we're to walk in the light as he is in the light. The Bible tells us that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. So guess what? If we're going to bear his image well, then in our band of brothers, there needs to be no secrets. If we're hiding our sin, we are eating away at our own soul. So part of one of the principles of being a man of integrity is saying, I'm going to profess that struggle. I'm going to get with some men who I can trust. I'm going to get with some other brothers in Christ, and I'm going to say, here's what I'm struggling with. These are the things that are difficult for me. And so that's a principle. It's timeless. It doesn't matter in whatever culture. That's something we are all called to as those made in God's image. So profess the struggle is the first principle. The second principle is understand triggers. And really that also means understand yourself. So that U is for understand triggers, or really more broadly, understand yourself. You know, there's a false notion that is being perpetuated throughout many, many churches, even evangelical churches, that any kind of focus that you put on yourself is unholy. Meaning anytime that you look in the mirror, anytime that you start to examine yourself, that somehow that's unholy. We almost think we might categorize that as selfish, or that's, you know, you're looking at the wrong thing, because aren't we supposed to just all be looking at Christ and serving our neighbor? Yeah, but did you know that when Jesus was challenged by the religious leaders of what the greatest commandment was, he gave them an interesting answer. They were looking for something that they could hang their hat on and say, hey, see, I'm doing this perfectly. They said, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus gave them a 2-for-1. He said, the greatest commandment is this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as who? Yourself. Wait a second, that kind of flies in the face of our idea that there's selfishness here, right? He's saying love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean? You have to love yourself. You have to take a look at some things. And guess what? A lot of times when we look in the mirror, we carry a lot of shame, right? Because we've got a lot of secrets. We know we're living that double life. We know, like Jason said, man, I feel incapacitated. I know the truth, and I kind of put on my truth face over here. I kind of put on my church face over here. But in my heart of hearts, I know that I'm broken, I'm weak, I'm empty. And so we have this duplicity going on here. So when we try to love our neighbor as ourselves, we can't do that because we're carrying all this shame. So it's important that we not only profess the struggle, it's also important that we begin to understand ourselves. Do we know our weaknesses? Did you know that Paul... Well, I should share this. Too many times we see this happen in this type of a ministry where guys are drowning in pornography, they're drowning in some kind of sexual sin, and they're wanting to break free. They're wanting to not have those things hanging on them anymore. And so they get this false notion that says the goal of this journey is so that I can be really strong. And we always tell them that's the wrong goal. That's the wrong goal. In the best, on your best day, you are no match for Satan. I'd rather take Paul's route. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to boast in my weaknesses. What? That's not an American thing to do, right? We don't go around and say, hey, can I lead with what I'm weak with? Let me tell you what I'm the weakest in. And guys, I stand before you right now as a man who's been on this journey for 17 years, from the time all of my secrets came out and I started working on recovery and growth. I stand before you today as saying my greatest weakness, meaning the place in my life that I'm still the most vulnerable to the attacks of Satan, is sexual temptation. Now, by the grace of God, I'm walking in freedom today. But here's the way I like to put it to men. I stand before you by God's grace as a man who is completely and totally free from addiction. I am not free from temptation. See, we need to be able to understand ourselves to say, I know very clearly where I'm the weakest. Meaning, I can see the enemy coming from a long way off. Why? Because I now know very well where I'm weak. Too many guys, what they do is they ignore their weaknesses. They want to keep promoting themselves as better than they are, as stronger than they are. The bottom line is, guys, we're not as strong as we think we are. And we've probably proven that to ourselves over and over and over again by how many times we've stumbled in our weaknesses. So it's better for us to come into the light, profess the struggle, and then begin to examine our lives so that we know very well where we are weak, so we can see those temptations coming from a long way off and we're not surprised by them. The third principle of purity is relate with God. Relate with God. That's the R, relate. Relate with God. The key here is that R does not stand for religious or religiosity. It stands for relationship. We need to relate with God. So many guys, especially in the church, they get in a mode of being very dutiful in their religious activities. And many times then they just miss connecting with God altogether because they're so active with all the do's and the don'ts that they're not really connecting with God. So this relate piece is much more about you digging in and allowing God to really dig into you. It's about a relationship. You know, whenever I have my quiet times in the morning with the Lord, I tend to like the morning better. I'm a much better morning person than I am late at night. And by the way, the idea of a quiet time is just saying I want to carve out time every day to have a very intentional meeting with God in a personal way. And by the way, when I have my what I call my quiet times with God, that is completely separate and different from when I might want to do Bible study. See, to me, a quiet time is the relate with God piece. It's, I'm going to meet with my Creator. I'm going to meet with the author of this book. It's not about black letters on a white page. It's not about the text in here. It's about who is actually the author of this book. So when I do my quiet time in the morning, when I open the Bible, I will imagine it that it's the mouth of God opening. It's very personal. It's very intimate. It's, God, what do you want to say to me today that is going to help me to walk in this day as a man of integrity, a man who walks in the light, a man who bears your image well in a world that is full of darkness and impurity? So it's about connecting with Him. And that's one of the principles that's timeless. We are to connect with God. We're to relate with Him. And then finally, the fourth pillar, there, or the fourth principle, is engage others. So for the E is for engage others. And guys, of these four principles here, this is the one that I see is usually the weakest in a man's journey, in a man's life of pursuing integrity. And here's the reason why. If you look at the first three, you can pretty much do those all by yourself, right? I mean, now, I would actually argue that technically you can't, but we like to think we can. Well, listen, I can profess a struggle. I can stand in front of my mirror and I can confess to God and confess to myself, hey, you know, I'm struggling with this. What about understanding triggers? Well, I can keep trying to kind of figure myself out. I can read some good books. I can, you know, try to examine myself and then relate with God. Well, that's just between me and God, right? I mean, isn't my faith kind of a private thing? It's just between me and God. But here's the thing. Remember what Jesus' response was to the greatest commandment. He said, it's not just this way, it's this way. The two for one that Jesus gave in loving God and loving your neighbor is saying, did you know from God the Father's perspective, there's no disconnection or distinction between these two? In fact, we're told later in 1 John that John, the Apostle John, found it very perplexing that anybody could say that they love God but hate their brother. Because he said, God doesn't think that way. No, if you say you love God but you hate your brother, you're actually lying to yourself. Because from God's perspective, those two things are not disconnected. So guys, if you think that you can be a man of integrity, a man walking in purity, the truest sense of purity, not just saying I'm not doing X, Y, Z behaviors, but the truest sense of purity, of bearing the holiness of God in the world around us, you cannot do that in a vacuum. You cannot do that disconnected from your brothers. We have to engage each other. Now, this idea of engage each other, what that means is that we have to confess to one another, and we have to do life together. And that means we've got to journey with each other, recognizing that we're all at very different stages in this journey. If we started going around this room and saying, okay, where are you right now in your life in managing your sexuality? Don't worry, we're not going to do that. But if we were to do that, we'd get guys at all different stages here. But did you know we're still called to engage one another? We're not called to siphon off the guys that are struggling more over here and the guys that are struggling less over here, almost as we're pitting them against one another. We're all to say, guess what? We're all on the exact same journey. We have the exact same calling of bearing the image of God in the world around us. So no matter where we are in this stage, we need to engage one another. So those are the principles: to profess the struggle, understand triggers or understand yourself, relate with God, and engage others. These are timeless, and they're not attached to any culture. But what's the process? What is the process that we must go through? Because here's the thing that I've discovered after dealing with literally thousands of men over the last 13 years of being in full-time ministry to men and couples who are struggling with sexual brokenness issues. No one got through childhood unbroken. No one gets through their childhood unbroken when it comes to sexual temptation or sexual sin. I have never met a man yet. I mean, maybe one day I will, but in thousands of men, I've never met a man yet that's come up to me and said, do you know the first sexual temptation I ever faced in my life? I was 30. It's never happened. It's always in childhood. So the fact of the matter is, if we are going to grow up, if we are going to learn what it means to bear God's image well in the world around us, pertaining to our sexuality, we're all going to have to go through a lifelong process. And there's a process that we must go through. I want to share with you the three key stages of that process. And by the way, stages might be the wrong word, even though it is a process. You don't ever fully and completely graduate from any one of these stages. Although you do spend a little more time probably on the journey in two of them versus one of them. But the first stage in the process of living a life of integrity is heal. H-E-A-L. Heal. We all need healing from the ways in which we were broken. See, some of us, we were exposed to pornography early on. Some of us were abused. Some of us were traumatized in other ways regarding our sexuality. We need healing. And too many times, men, we kind of bow up, right? We go like, listen, I was taught as a kid, boys don't cry, you got to be strong. And we then mask where we are really broken, where we are really hurting, where we've really been damaged. And so part of this process, if we're going to be men of integrity, is we have to heal. If we have our exposure to pornography, if we've been abused, if we've had traumas, we need to go through the process of healing. Some of that will require some counseling. Certainly we need to bring those things before the Lord. There are ways in which you can do that, and we can help with that. But healing is incredibly necessary in order to be made whole. So that's the first part of the process, is we need to step into the healing that we need from our histories. We've all been broken in our histories, and so we need healing in order to move toward wholeness. The second part of the process there is grow. Grow, G-R-O-W. As we experience healing, as God begins to make us whole in those places that are broken, what we learn is, you know what? I need to dive deeper into understanding how to apply these principles of purity in my life. See, healing, in many ways, healing is a passive stage. And what I mean by that is, if you break your leg, can you will your leg to get better? No, you can't just say, get better. There's a passive process to it, meaning you've got to go to a doctor, that's got to get set, you're going to be in a cast, and then you have to wait. You're not actively doing anything. You're like, it's not based on your will that you're going to make your leg heal. That's something that just has to happen. So it's, in many ways, opening yourself up to healing is saying, God, I'm showing you where I'm broken. You already know that. I'm showing some other men where I'm broken, and I need to be able to receive that healing. But once you have started to receive that healing, then there is the expectation from God that says, now I want you to start pursuing integrity. I want you to start pursuing these principles. Take the broken leg example. Once that healing has occurred, does your leg immediately function the way it used to? No, there's what we call therapy, right? Now, do you have a choice there of whether or not you're going to do the thing? Yeah. That's kind of the grow piece, right? It's like, oh man, this is painful. It still hurts, but I have to actually do something. I have to engage my will to actually take those steps and do those exercises. That's the grow piece. We have to make it an act of our will that we are engaging, professing the struggle and understanding ourselves and relating with God and engaging others. We have to now grow in those things. But then there's a third part of this process that many men just ignore altogether, because they don't think it has anything to do with becoming a man of integrity. They think, well, healing and growth is all there is, right? I just need to get better and better and better at living in purity. But the problem is that's still focused on you, right? That's not bad, right? We've already established it's not bad that you get well and that you focus on you. But there's a third part that's incredibly important. And the third part of that process is serve. Serve. There is a reason, there is a purpose for which God makes you whole. There's a reason that He heals you. And it's not just so He can say, all right, you're well. The reason is He's saying, did you know you're well, and I've placed you in a community of sick, hurt, broken people. So therefore, use your wellness to help those around you. Guys, if you are walking in purity, men around you need to know that. They need what you are showing. They need more than it just as a passive example. They need you to actually be pouring into their lives. They need you to actually share with them the insights you've learned along the way. They need you to tell them how you've grown in order that they might get well. And then guess what you're doing? You're helping those guys get into the very first process of healing so that then they can grow and they can serve others. See, this process is about multiplication. This, by the way, this is this is a perfect parallel to what discipleship is. That's really what it is, right? God rescues us through the gospel, and he says, now what I want you to do is as you understand more fully what it means to be a follower of Jesus, your commissioning is to go out and make other disciples. So that's really what this is about. And what we're doing is we're just saying this is the same avenue that you've got to go down if you're going to be a man of integrity. Is you do need healing from the brokenness in your past, the ways in which you were hurt, the ways in which you were traumatized, in order that now you've got enough wholeness that you can grow in those principles, in order that you might serve those around you who are also struggling in those same ways.
Thank you for listening to the first part of our two-part series on the three P's of purity. We look forward to having you back here next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.